My name is Jasmine Moreno, and I'm interviewing my mom. Her name is Daisy Tate, and I'm interviewing her because I feel like I don't know enough about her. So my first question for her is, tell me about where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
I grew up after living in the Philippines for the first 5 years and moving to Dallas, Texas. I lived in a suburb called Grand Prairie, and that's where I really didn't know anything. I didn't know English. I didn't know how to interact with other people, and starting school there was really different. The cultural differences were like night and day from today, and I was probably one of only a couple of Asian people in that school, and I felt like I didn't fit in. And when you're in school and you don't already feel like you don't fit in, it makes it even harder.
Wow, that's, I don't know, I feel like I already have a hard time fitting in, but like...
Mm-hmm. But imagine someone that doesn't speak English and then is in a town where it's like 98% other races except Asian. So pretty tough.
Okay, next question. Did you have a nickname? What was it and how did you get it?
So my nickname growing up, and it's still the same now, 36 years old, is Clang Clang. And I don't know where I got it from. There are several different stories, but... I hear one story saying it's because I was so loud. It sounds like pots and pans clinging. So that's where Clang Clang came from. And then another is from my mom, who says that I was nicknamed after a supermodel in the Philippines. Who knows?
Those are...
Has nothing to do with my name,
so
though.
Different. Like, those stories don't even, like, correlate at
nope.
all. Okay, now, speaking of your mom, tell me about your parents.
So I have two dads, and I have my mom. My mom is also Filipina, and she is just as crazy as I am and outspoken, and I think much of my personality comes from her. I have a stepdad who is pretty much the person who raised me, and he is like my father. If you were to say, you know, do you have a father versus do you have a dad, he's like my dad. Because he's the one who raised me. And then I have my real father, my biological father, who I've only really got to meet a few times in my life. I found that as we've gotten older, I finally found a relationship with him, but I really didn't have a biological father growing up. So I feel like he's kind of like a uncle, but he's great with the grandkids, and he's you know, always in our life. And their lives, so that's all that matters now.
Considering that we come from a crazy big family, all these different kind of people, of all the family members you have either known or heard about, who do you think lived the most interesting life and why?
Oh, definitely my grandmother. Her name was Alejandra Abadilla, but we called her Grandma Anding. But she had 9 children in the Philippines, and you know, a few of them actually ended up either getting killed by car accidents or dying. So the ones that are remaining, majority of them are here in the United States, and only I believe one stayed behind. But what's interesting about her story is that there is a very normal courting process with her and my grandfather. My grandfather was a military person in the Philippines. And my grandmother was this beautiful, they call her mestiza, very light skin, light eyes, beautiful, and just everybody was courting her at the time. And she chose my grandfather, who is this very dark, masculine, military-like person. And the good old-fashioned courting that happened was when he played the guitar and sang to her in front of her window, and that's how they fell in love. But what was really interesting was for them to be able to get us all here in the United States, my grandfather and my grandmother both helped the United States during World War II in transporting weapons for the U.S. Because of Japan and the war going on with Japan. And because of that, the United States honored my grandfather and pretty much said, your whole family can come to the United States, become citizens, and be active in the military, and that's what he did. So even though we had aunts and uncles that were over the age of 20, we were still all able to come and become citizens, including myself. There was one, actually two aunts that stayed behind. One stayed there, still there to this day, but the other aunt did come back to the United States eventually. But that was really interesting for them to have gone through all those risks just to, you know, make sure that our family was able to come here to have all these new opportunities. And as a little girl, my grandmother actually was hit by a bomb during the war, and the shrapnel scarred her leg. So she wasn't actually directly hit to where it damaged anything, but the shrapnel, I mean, was that close. So the shrapnel from the bullet actually pierced her skin and her leg, and it scarred her for life. So we still see that scar to the day before she even passed away.
Now, I'm nosy, so I want to know about what you did when you were a kid. So when you were younger, what did you imagine your life would be like?
Well, when I was a kid, I didn't really have anything to imagine my life to be like because I didn't know. My thought process was, how do I speak English, first of all? And then the second thing is, how do I get ahead? I've always had such a very competitive spirit, even as a kid growing up. When I got into middle school, I discovered my interest in, you know, owning a business. And I remember having a stamp collection club where I would force other kids to be in my club and they wouldn't show up. So I learned very, very quickly about reliability and loyalty. And, you know, I would spend summer days in my room because we wouldn't be able to go out or do anything, taking out these pieces of paper and just taping them together to where they would make this poster board and just drawing this crazy amusement park that I had envisioned. And it was like beyond Disneyland. And what's interesting is I drew this amusement park before I even knew Disneyland existed. And then Disneyland existed, and it was like my drawing come true, which is crazy. But yep. And then for me, you know, I would play with my brothers and we would do things like, you know, I own a McDonald's and you work for me and this is what you do. And, you know, we're, you know, 8 to 10 years apart, so I was always the boss. But that was me, always telling people what to do when growing up. But we didn't really get to do much. We got to play in our rooms, play in our backyard. Our backyard was about half an acre large. My stepdad built a homemade volleyball court. That's where I practiced in the summers and learned how to play volleyball. I found myself serving the ball to the other side of the net and then running to the other side of the net to serve it back. Because I had no one else to practice with. And that was pretty much our life. We would sometimes go out and ride our bikes. And I was right across the street from the middle school I went to. So I was running track and just doing whatever active things I could do. And in the summers, we were always so broke. So my dad always taught us to try to find resources and getting free food and free anything, free books, free anything that we could get. And so we would go, yep, so we would go to the library and we would take advantage of the free hot dogs, chips, and soda. And then they would give away books that they were no longer, you know, going to keep in stock because they were bringing in new books, or they were really, really old books that we would get to like choose and bring. So I spend a lot of my summers reading and looking for free things, and I think that's all come with me. And even shopping at garage sales growing up in the summers and on the weekends, that's all we did, was try to find ways to save money and not sacrifice on our style or on our designer labels. But we paid very little for everything, always.
Now, going from your life as a kid to your life as a teenager, has it been any different than you imagined?
Oh yeah, I mean, growing up and going from elementary to middle school, I just remember, you know, having all these dreams and desires, and my imagination was pretty limitless as far as what I could accomplish with my life. My grandfather was, you know, very ambitious, and, you know, him being in the military, very smart, intelligent, clever, wise, I mean, just all around had this foundation of intellect that I truly feel that his side brought into our gene pool, and that's what makes us all so smart. But, you know, when he ended up passing away when I was in sixth grade, it was pretty devastating for me. And I think that was when the turning point of my life went kind of downhill, and my mom too, because it was really tough for her, because, you know, he had just moved back from living with us in Grand Prairie and then going back to Oceanside to live with my aunt. And it was just shortly after he moved back to Oceanside was when he was killed. And it's still a mystery to this day what happened to him. And that was back in like 1994. But I remember making straight A's and just doing so well in school to failing. And the reason why I turned myself around wasn't because of my parents, because even after that, my mom was still grieving, and then yet I would still never see her because she was always working graves and then sleeping during the day. And my dad would work long hours because all he could do was be a technician at the time. His degree as an engineer in the Philippines didn't count. So he was working extra hard to prove himself, working extra overtime. I never really saw either of them. It was like two ships passing in the night all the time with them too. So the changing factor for me was in my seventh grade year, I remember having the same math teacher, and she said to me, "You have so much potential." Her name was Mrs. Montez. I will never forget. Long black hair, very short, probably 4'11", and she just had these glasses that would always fall to her nose, and she would always pick them up. But then she would have these really long, beautiful nails, and she would always teach so well in math, and I was horrible at math. But at that time, before my grandfather passed away, I was excellent at math. And I just remember her saying, "God, you have so much potential to be something great, and I just wish that you could see that for yourself. I don't know what you're going through. I know that you seem like you're sad a lot. You've changed a lot in your personality, but I really hope that you turn things around and see that you can be somebody if you just see that for yourself." And I think that's where my turning point was, where I try to turn my life around. But high school, you know, you get involved with the wrong friends, you meet the wrong people, and you find yourself in a lot of trouble. And I got into a lot of fights, and I was often misunderstood or judged quickly because of my very bold personality. And I found myself getting into a lot of fights with women. Well, with girls back then, but yeah. Getting into a lot of fights, dealing with a lot of people that I shouldn't have been dealing with, finding friends that would protect me, because the school I went to was not a good school. It was a bad school. I mean, lots of fights, lots of gangs, lots of deaths, which is sad, from either shootings or fights or some kind of traumatic accident. And yeah, so I would find friends that were constantly in trouble because they protected me and they were much bigger than me, and got involved with the wrong crowd thinking that they were the real friends I had. And hopefully you guys don't make the same mistake, and that's what I try to do now, is teach you guys that, because high school is just as bad as middle school.
I try like my best to stay away from most people. I have like two friends maybe that I actually can trust. Talking about high school, if you could go back and relive your teenage years, would you? Why or why not?
No. The reason I wouldn't is because I feel like those were the times that were the worst for me. And honestly, like, it's a time where I didn't know myself. Nobody knew themselves. So we were all living in this like world of fake friends, fake characteristics, you know, unknown characteristics, unknown feelings and emotions. Like, we were all constantly between friends, not really knowing who we were. And that created a lot of, I don't know, awkwardness.
Drama.
I mean, I truly believe that our teen years are our socially awkward years. And even though we all have different personalities, or introverted or extroverted or whatever, I still think that whole just window of, you know, who you're surrounding yourself with, they all don't even know who they are. So what makes you think you know who you are? And it just created more confusion amongst each other. And I think, you know, not knowing who I was, not knowing how to act, not knowing to be myself back then, you know, to just be myself and just who cares what anybody thought, I would never want to relive that life again. I like my life now, that's for sure.
I don't know if I would want to relive this life yet.
Nobody wants to relive their teen years.
I'll see when I'm 36.
Your dad may think otherwise. He thought his high school years were great. And I'm like, good for you. I don't know anyone else that does.
Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
I think one of my happiest memories was when I gave birth to you and your brothers and sister. I mean, those are always my happiest memories.
Well, if you had to choose, like, one memory specifically.
Oh, gosh.
Not four different ones.
Well, it's... If I were to choose one memory specifically, I will say it's marrying your dad. But that would be more renewing our vows in Turks and Caicos. That was my happy, happy memory. One of the happiest days of my life.
We're going to reverse it a little bit. Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Oh, gosh. I would say one of the most difficult moments was when I had to deal with Juliana and being on bed rest. I think the most difficult thing for any woman that, you know, bears children is, of course, being pregnant. But can you imagine having to be on bed rest, having to inject yourself with insulin because you have gestational diabetes, having to take blood pressure medication because you had gestational hypertension, and then still having to deliver 6 weeks early. And then, you know, Juliana was so tiny, like less than 4 pounds. I think she was only like 3 or 4 pounds when she was born. And she was in ICU. She was in NICU for over 2 weeks. And I think that was one of the most difficult things is, you know, the moment I gave birth to her, I put her on my chest and then they immediately took her away. I couldn't see her. I was just laying there for I don't know how long because they were all tending to her, trying to make sure she was safe. And then not being able to bring her home. I mean, most parents get to be with their baby the whole time and within a day or two get to go home. And I didn't get to do that with Juliana. And that was really devastating for me. And then, like, watching the videos and hearing from your dad about their experience, his experience of watching Juliana as they were, like, poking her and probing her and trying to even just get an IV in her vein. And she's just got these tiny, I mean, her hand was, like, as small as my finger. And, like, they were trying to find a vein to give her an IV. And, I mean, they did, like, 20 different tries. And the girl was screaming. And I couldn't even be there to hold her. And either he couldn't even hold her because, you know, they kind of had her in a contained little, like, carriage thing. And it was really tough. That was probably the most difficult part of my life, was feeling that pain. Nobody wants their children to be in that kind of pain.
Oh. I remember that, too, because it was, like, I didn't understand at the time because I was only, what, 8 or 9?
Yeah.
And I just, like, I would come to the hospital after school with Auntie Josie, and I'm like, when can we take her home? And it was, like, for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, and I just remember, really sad.
Like, waiting, and then when we could finally take her home, I was, like, I didn't want to leave her alone. Like, I was just, like, always in her face.
And she was so small.
And she was, yeah, she was tiny. Like, that car seat for her was, like...
You couldn't even see her in the car seat. Yeah. Everybody thought the car seat was empty.
Now, from one of the most difficult moments in your life, can you tell me about one of the dumbest things you've ever done?
I have a lot of those.
Let's get wild.
I know that I say a lot of things that absolutely make no sense, and and people are just like, wow, I can't believe someone as smart as you would say something like that. So, I don't know. I mean, the dumbest thing I've ever done, I would say is getting in trouble with my friends and running away to the point where, you know, I end up in one of those special teen homes where it's not jail, but it's still you're locked up and in a home confined with other people that are absolutely crazy and weird for, you know, a month and a half. So I'm telling you, your friends are definitely a big factor in how well or how difficult your life could turn for you. Well, that's why we try to tell you guys all the time. Be really careful who your friends are and the friends you choose, the company you keep.
Branching off of the dumbest thing you've ever done, share some important lessons you've learned in life thus far.
I would say that for sure, every disappointment can be an opportunity. You know, we always think, oh gosh, my life is going downhill, all these things are going wrong, but what I've learned is that all these disappointments may not necessarily be disappointments. They may be things that God's doing in our life to try to help us. And they become these blessings in disguise, you know. They may not seem like the right thing at the right time, but we know God and we trust Him. And they turn around and they're all worked out for our good, always. The other thing is to let our struggles be our successes. That's one of my slogans whenever I talk to other moms, young moms, or even just women that, you know, want some kind of counseling, is let your story be heard. That everybody has a story. Everybody's going through some kind of struggle, some kind of pain. But if you don't share it, other people won't know that it's a relatable experience. And then if you kind of hide it and hold it in, how are they going to be able to be helped? You know? And so you want to try to help as many by sharing your testimony, your story. And once you've gone through it and you've succeeded, which we all do, we all go through those victories. Once we've hit that rock bottom, there's always that rainbow after the storm, right?
Yeah.
Then we use those experiences to share so other people can know that they're not alone.
In your 36 years of living, do you have any regrets?
No. Sometimes I often wonder, like, would my life have been different if I hadn't had your brother when I was 17? Or had my life been different if I would have just married, you know, your stepdad the first time to begin with? And honestly, you know, if I would have changed any of that, I don't think we would be where we're at right now. And I don't regret it, because I think at the times that we're dealing with the struggles, yes. But now that we're here now, it was all worth it. It's all worth it. The price you pay for the life you live is worth it if you just see it in a different point of view.
This is the question that I've been excited to ask you about all night, because
no.
You were a teen mother. So tell me about when you found out you were going to be a mother.
Oh boy, that was tough. I mean, I was devastated. I was sick, literally, because my pregnancies were just like, I was always nauseous, vomiting. And when I found out I was pregnant, I just remember going to one of these Catholic adoption places where I found out they were doing free pregnancy tests. And I said, I think I'm pregnant, and I need to know what actions to take and what choices to make. And I took the pregnancy test. I had a girlfriend with me, and I found out I was pregnant, and I cried, and I thought my life was over, because...
Were you scared at all?
Oh, yeah. I was very... My mom, you guys are... You have no idea. Like, I am such a normal, cool mom compared to my mom. My mom was the strictest, like... most, like, she was probably the most strict mom I've ever met in my entire life, and I would never want that to be the case with my kids. Just feeling the way I felt growing up, it was so hard not being able to go anywhere, do anything at all, and it was just like constant, like, battle with just even trying to just play outside and ride my bike, you know what I mean? Just something like that.
Yeah.
So when I told her, she was furious, and then the second thing was she wanted to sue your dad.
Oh.
Because your dad was 19 when I was 17.
Yeah.
So, wait, he was 20. He's 4 years older than me. So he was 20 when I was 16. So she wanted to, first of all, put your dad in jail. Second of all, sue your dad. And then when my ex-mother-in-law came into the picture, they sorted it out. And so I pretty much was like, I need to be on my own. She made it clear that I needed to be on my own. And that's kind of how my life was from then on. I was a young mom having to deal with everything as if I were 30 years old. Responsibilities, choices, raising you guys, working full-time, trying to make ends meet. And the only way I could do it, because I didn't have a degree, was to work 10 times harder than everybody else that did have a degree, which was really, really tough. But I will say, those times where you learn to work hard, it molds you into becoming the person that you become as an adult when you're older. So I don't regret those times, but I just think that if I would have made wiser choices, my life probably wouldn't have been as hard going through, like, college and not having college. And it's just a lot of things that I could have done different. And even in high school, I mean, I remember bringing a plastic bag to class every day because I would be so sick that sometimes I wouldn't make it to the bathroom. So I would, like, be throwing up in a bag. or having to stand right by the door because there's just no way I could run from the very back of the class corner to the very front. So just a lot of different things that you have to go through as a teen mom. And the school wanted me out. Like, they had the counselor ask me to withdraw and go to a different school where other pregnant teen moms were, because they pretty much said that I was a poison to the society of high school students, and that I was already very popular because, you know, I wasn't in drill team. I was in sports. I played some of the varsity sports. And so, you know, going back there and then having to say I'm pregnant, I mean, other, you know, kids don't understand that that's not cool. They think that it's so cool that this person who's popular and influential is pregnant, and they too want to get pregnant. And so that was pretty much their point, is we don't want you to poison their minds thinking that it is okay to be pregnant, because we don't want to increase the pregnancy rate here in our school. It's already kind of high. But my mom had to fight for me, and she's like, no, she needs to finish school. She's going to graduate, and you're going to let her stay. She does not have to do anything you don't want her to do, and this is our right, and we can enforce suit on you guys. So she pretty much threw the legal side out. My mom was very smart. We debate very well, and we all could be lawyers. We probably all could have been lawyers at one point in our lives, but she did. She threw the legal card out, and they did not make me withdraw. But unfortunately, there were other girls that were getting pregnant after me, which was super sad. I did not want that at all. But I wanted to do what was best for me, because I knew in the future that was my future. That was my kids' future. That was my likelihood to be something if I graduated high school. And I just knew that if I would have withdrawn and went to this alternative school of pregnant women, pregnant teen moms, I don't think I would have graduated. So I had to do what was right for me. And, you know, I can't control everybody's choices. So at the end, I'm not regretful of that. I just do think that, you know, girls need to be more aware of this is not cool. It is not cool to be pregnant.
No.
When you're in high school.
It's not the move.
I guess in my school, though, during those times it was, but I'm like, I don't understand how you guys could possibly think. Like, you guys have no idea. I ruined my life. Like, I'm not going to be able to go to college on time because I'm going to be, like, raising this newborn. And then, you know, you guys are going to get to be able to experience summer and going to the beach. And, like, my body's all stretched out now. Like, you guys have no idea. And, you know, you live and you learn, but... yeah, I had to go through some pretty crazy struggles in the 90s because of that. But, you know, like I said, everything has a price. You do the things you do. You have the consequences you have when you make the choices you make. And, yeah, you just got to fight for what's right at the end of it.
Now, from being a teen mom to being another mother of three other children... what are your future hopes for my siblings and I?
I want you guys to all finish school. I want you guys to be successful. I want you guys to go to college. I really want you guys to finish everything you start and get your life straight and make the right choices and have... and the number one most important thing for me, and it's what I'm constantly watching over you guys with, is your friends. You know, who are your friends? Where are they? What do they do? What do their families do? Like, I am super watchful because I made those mistakes, and I never want to see you guys make the same mistake. And, you know, I want you guys to have good relationships with me. I want you guys to be able to have good relationships with others, because we live in a culture and a community where relationship and loyalty and building those types of relationships and trust is important, you know? It's important life skills that you need to learn. And I just want to make sure that we as parents equip you guys with everything you need to succeed, whether it's the right way to communicate, the right way to build relationships, the right friends to make, and the right choices to make. So I want the best for you guys. I want you guys to have a life lived that I could not live as a kid.
Okay, now we're at our last question, and it might get a little emotional.
Oh, no.
You might get a little emotional. I don't know about me. I probably will, because I'm just like you, so I'll probably cry. But if you knew this is going to be our last conversation, is there anything you've never told me that you want to share with me now? So this is our last conversation. You can't say anything else to me after this. I'm going to move to Mars.
Oh, man. Yeah, it is a tough question because, you know, I always tell people that you have to think about.
Why are you crying?
Because it's sad. Like, if you think about your last day on Earth, are you going to feel like you didn't spend enough time with your family and you worked too much, or are you going to feel like you did everything you could? And I think for you, Jasmine, if this were our last conversation, I would tell you to live your life the way God planned for you. I wouldn't tell you to live your life to the fullest. I wouldn't tell you to, you know, you only live once, do it all while you can. I would say live the life God purposed for you, because if you follow his path and just seek Jesus and constantly come to him first, all of the things that you could possibly want and need will be given to you, because everything from God is good. Everything of God is good. And so just live that life. If there's one thing I can part you with, if this were our last conversation, is to live that life. Not to live a life that's of you, but to live a life of Jesus, a life purposed for you from Jesus, and not selfishly with your own type of motivations and desires. That's all.
Well, this is required, but I just wanted to let you know how much you mean to me.
Oh.
Because I don't do it enough, and I'm sorry that I'm always, like, probably, like, out with my friends a lot now, and I'm getting older. Always doing homework, because I wait till the last minute to do it all. Never out of my room, because I'm always doing homework or doing something else. So I just want to let you know that I love you a lot, and I'm sorry that I don't say that enough.
I love you, too. And I just hope that, you know, you learn more every day, you know? I just hope that you discover and learn more about yourself and your family every day. And I want you to know that I love you, and I appreciate you, and you're a good kid, Jazz. You're a good kid. Don't be so hard on yourself, but also work hard, you know? Push yourself as far as you can, but know to take a break and reflect back if you need to.
So this is an English project, so I don't know. Miss Gibson, if you're hearing this, we're emotional, so yeah, this is going to the interwebs. Thank you.